Unit 7. The Dalvois period, that is from 1704 to 1766 AD. Page number 33. Structure. Unit 7.0. Objectives. Unit 7.1. Introduction. Unit 7.2. Kanti Rava Narasaraja Vadiyar II, that is from 1704 to 1714 AD. Unit 7.2.1. Political Developments. Unit 7.3. Krishnaraja Vadiyar I, that is from 1714 to 1732 AD. Unit 7.4. Chamaraja Vadiyar VI, that is from 1732 to 1734 AD. Unit 7.5. Chikka Krishnaraja Vadiyar II, that is from 1734 to 1766 AD. Unit 7.6. Summary of the unit. Unit 7.7. Self-assessment questions. Unit 7.8. Suggested books for further study. Page number 34. Unit 7.0. Objectives. A study of this unit will enable you to enumerate why the post-Chikka Devaraja Vadiyar period, that is from 1704 to 1766, was called the Dalvois period, and also the history of successors of Chikka Devaraja Vadiyar. Unit 7.1. Introduction. The death of Chikka Devaraja Vadiyar in 1704 AD marks the beginning of the decline of the prosperity of the Mysore Vadiyar dynasty. The successors of Chikka Devaraja Vadiyar, that is Kanti Rava Narasaraja Vadiyar II, that is from 1704 to 1714 AD, Krishnaraja Vadiyar I, that is from 1714 to 1732 AD, Chamaraja Vadiyar VI, that is from 1732 to 1734 AD, and Krishnaraja Vadiyar II, that is from 1734 to 1766 AD, were generally incompetent to manage the affairs of the kingdom. These rulers were either too weak or too young to hold the regions of government. They were not strong enough to keep the Dalvois under their control. Therefore, they would not hold their political control over Mysore. Because of these reasons, Mysore kingdom gradually lost its political importance. Taking this as an advantage, the Dalvois of this period took all the powers into their hands and became politically more powerful in the kingdom. It is interesting to note that the history of Mysore Vadiyars begins with the faithless story of Dalvoi Maranayaka, and its glory ends when Dalvoi Devarajaya deposed Chamaraja Vadiyar VI, that is from 1732 to 1734, and took all power into his hands after imprisoning the Raja in AD 1734. During the regime of Krishnaraja Vadiyar II, that is from 1734 to 1766, the affairs of the state were in general conducted by the same Dalvoi Devarajaya in collaboration with his cousin Sarvadhikari Nanjarajaya and his younger brother Karachuri Nanjarajaya. All powers was wielded by these members of Kalale family, and therefore the period came to be described as Dalvoi regime. The interests of Kalale in the region of Krishnaraja Vadiyar II were further strengthened by the marriage of Devajamma, daughter of Karachuri Nanjarajaya, to Krishnaraja Vadiyar II in 1746 AD. Thus the selfish Dalvois began to aggrandize powers, and the kings came a more tool in their own hands. As a result, the kings receded to background and the Dalvois became the de facto rulers of the kingdom. This period therefore be regarded as the Dalvois period in the history of Mysore. Unit 7.2. Kanti Rava Narasaraja Vadiyar II, that is from 1704 to 1714 AD. Chikka Devaraja Vadiyar was succeeded by his only son, that is by Devajamma, Kanti Rava Narasaraja Vadiyar II, who was born deaf and dumb. The Dowager Queen Devajamma and the Prime Minister. Page number 35. As I said, the Dowager Queen Devajamma and the Prime Minister Tirumala Iyengar installed him on the throne of Mysore on November 30, 1704 AD, and conducted the administration of the kingdom. The guiding hand of Devajamma, Dowager Queen of Chikka Devaraja Vadiyar, was an element of strength to Kanti Rava Narasaraja Vadiyar in the early years of his regime. The Dalvois of this period took advantage of this physical disability of the Raja and slowly started squeezing their royal power in order to consolidate their position and authority. Most of the Dalvois of this king were the members of Kalale family and were also close relatives of the king. Almost simultaneously, the members of the Kalale family rose to great prominence as Dalvois of Mysore and exercised increasing influence on the administration of the state. Matrimonial alliance with the Mysore royal family and regular furnishing of a Dalvoi, that is commissioner in chief, to the Mysore army in conformity with the Solomon agreement between the two houses about the close of Raja Wadiyar's region had become the cardinal features in the policy of Kalale towards Mysore during 1660-1704 AD. Basavarajaya, father-in-law of Kantirava Narsaraja Wadiyar II, who had given his daughter Cheluvajamma to Kantirava, was Dalwa of Mysore till November 1708 AD. He was succeeded by Nanjaraja II, who was served as Kantirava Narsaraja Wadiyar till about February 1714, when Veera Rajaya became the Dalwai of Mysore. The systematic succession to the office of Dalwai from among the members of the Kalale family during the period significantly points to it as an important factor in the governance for the kingdom. Unit 7.2.1 Political Developments. Aurangzeb, who maintained friendly relations with the Mysore during the reign of Sikkadevaraja Wadiyar, suddenly changed his policy after his death and ordered his governor of the Deccan Suba to invade Mysore in the region of Kantirava too. Aurangzeb's orders were carried out and the Mysore army was not able to resist the huge Mughal army when it delivered its attack on the fort of Mysore. Realizing the futility of resistance, Mysore purchased peace by offering 1.5 crore of rupees. In AD 1710, Dalwai Nanjarajaya too subdued Baiche Gowda, the Morasa chief of Chikkaballapur, and in the following year he reduced the Palegars of Doddaballapur and Minigesi and thus extended the spheres of influence of the kingdom of Mysore towards the Mughal Suba of Sira. During the closing year of Kantirava's region, Mysore resisted the pretensions of the Nawab of Karnataka to exact tribute from it. In the actual work of the government, he had the active assistance of the Dalwais and other officers. The administration was conducted in the traditional manner and the situations were continued with regularity and vigor. Kantirava Narsaraja Wadiyar walked in the footprints of his father so far as the administration. The administration was good. Villagers enjoyed peace and prosperity in plenty. Endowments were... Page number 36. As I said, Kantirava Narsaraja Wadiyar walked in the footprints of his father so far as the administration. The administration was good. Villagers enjoyed peace and prosperity in plenty. And also, the endowments were made to the temples, and on every road there were groves and watersheds. Kantirava Narsaraja passed away in 1714 and his son, 12 years of age, succeeded to the throne as Dodda Krishnaraja Wadiyar I. Unit 7.3 Krishnaraja Wadiyar I, that is from 1714 to 1732 AD. Kantirava Narsaraja Wadiyar II was succeeded by his son and their apparent Krishnaraja Wadiyar. He ruled the Mysore kingdom from 1714 to 1732. As he was still a boy at this time of accession, the administration of the state vested in the hands of Dalwai Devarajaya and Sarvadhikari Nanjarajaya. After the death of Tirumala Iyengar in 1706, the Dalwai's power increased and when his brother was made Sarvadhikari or administrative head, orderly administration gave place to self-centered dictatorship. The Dalwai appointed his own men to important posts in the state and usurped the power of the king and appropriated much of the king's revenue. The region of Krishnaraja Wadiyar I in Mysore synchronized with the period of deepening crisis in South India consequent on the decline and fall of the Mughal Empire under the successors of Aurangzeb. About AD 1718, 4 years after the founding of Hyderabad by Nizam-ul-Muluk, a process of systematic subinfeudation of the Mughal Deccan followed. Soon the Nizam became an absolute master of the Deccan. In 1724 AD, Mysore faced another invasion. With the support of the Nizam of Hyderabad, the Nawab Sadatullah Khan of Arcot with the Subdar Lingappa of Ikkeri, the Nawabs of Sira, Kudappa, Kurnool and Savanur and Sidoji Gorpade of Gutti invaded the Mysore kingdom. The allies' efforts sustained some reverses owing to the heavy cannonade from the bastions of the fort, but they persisted and soon proved a formidable combination for the Mysore arms. The officers of Srirangapatna found it expedient to buy off the Confederacy and save the situation. A crore of rupees was the amount paid and the allies retired from Srirangapatna. Mysore faced a more serious danger from the Marathas than from the powers. The Peshwas planned a series of expeditions to the Karnataka from 1724 to 1761. Sometimes they led the expeditions in person and at other times they entrusted the chief command of the expeditions to the old Sardars. As there was no unity among the chieftains of the Karnataka, they were subdued early. In 1726 AD, the Marathas under Peshwa Bajirao I came up with his army and appeared before Srirangapatna demanding a contribution. In the action that followed, Bajirao found himself outmanoeuvred by the heavy firing from the magazines of the fort and sustaining considerable loss of men in his army. He retreated in dismay with the remark that it was a sheer impossibility for sword fighters like the Marathas to withstand this Max Lockman of Srirangapatna, which appeared as to him more as page number 37. As I said, in the action that followed, Bajirao found himself outmanoeuvred by the heavy firing from the magazines of the fort and sustaining considerable loss of men in his army. Retreated in dismay with the remark that it was a sheer impossibility for sword fighters like the Marathas to withstand this match, Lockman of Srirangapatna, which appeared as to him more as a city of cannons, also known as Srirangapatna. But the Maratha sources reveals that the Raja of Mysore was defeated and compelled to pay a tribute of 2 lakhs of rupees. From what had happened at Mysore, it is possible to conclude that the Mysore Raja purchased peace by offering tribute to the Peshwa. On the whole, the Mysore-Maratha relations were strained. After the conclusion of the Maratha War, the Mysore army invaded Savanadurga and Magadi and went as far as Salem and Ratnagiri. Dalwai Devarajaya successfully blockaded the fort of Magadi, compelling its chief Kempe Gowda IV, that is from 1704 to 1728, to surrender and reduce the hill fort of Savanadurga with the accumulated treasure of ages. The principality of Magadi was absorbed with its dependencies in the kingdom of Mysore. Dalwai Devarajaya proceeded as far as Ratnagiri and Salem and secured the allegiance of the chiefs there. These activities tended to replenish the treasury at Srirangapatna depleted earlier. After attaining majority, Doddakrishna Raja Vadiyar concluded that the administration of the state according to rules laid down by his predecessors. He was pious, just, philanthropic and a person of taste and culture frequented by the learned and taking a keen interest in music and literature. While he himself adhered to the Sri Vaishnava faith, he assured protection to all the other faiths among his subjects. His general Dalwa Veerarajaya of Kalale was also interested in literature. Some works have come down in his name. For instance, a treatise of medicine styled Sakala Vaidya Samhita Saranava. Doddakrishna Raja Vadiyar made numerous gifts to the temples at Melkote, Belur, Tirupati and Kalale and to his institutions and deserving individuals in and outside of the state. However, his reason ended in 1732 when he was only 30 years of age. His region witnessed definite beginning of decline in the power of the central authority and the rise of prominence of his relations and counselors at his Dalwais and Sarvadikaris as active elements in the administration of Mysore. Unit 7.4 Chamaraja Vadiyar 6, that is from 1732 to 1734. Krishnaraja Vadiyar 1 died without no male children. Before his death, Krishnaraja had expressed his desire to adopt one of his kinsmen named Chamaya, also called Chamaraja, son of Devaraja Aras of Ankanahalli. Accordingly, the counselors, after exacting a solemn oath that he would abide by their injunctions, Chamarajaya was finally adopted and installed on the throne of Mysore under the name Chamaraja Vadiyar 6 in AD 1732. Chamaraja Vadiyar's region witnessed the beginning of ministerial responsibilities in Mysore, which in later years assumed alarming proportions. True to his pledge, Chamaraja Vadiyar conducted the affairs of the state under the guidance of the Dowager Queen, supported by the powerful ministerial party headed by his own counselor Sarvadikari Nanjarajaya, Dalwai Devarajaya and Karchuri Nanjarajaya. They began systematically aggrandizing all powers and page number 38. As I said earlier, they began systematically aggrandizing all powers and acquiring landed property for themselves. The Dowager Queen was worked upon so as to tide with them against the ruler. Meanwhile, the details of the plot having been disclosed, Chamaraja Vadiyar, he forthwith removed both Dalwai Devarajaya and Sarvadikari Nanjarajaya from the offices they held and appointed in their place Devaya, a Brahmin, and Veera Setti, a Vaishya. This was followed by other changes in the personnel of the administration. After these changes, Chamaraja Vadiyar began his independent rule in January 1733. In 1773, at request of the ruler of Malabar, Chamaraja Vadiyar VI sent his troops to help him against the Ikkeri forces. However, Chamaraja Vadiyar's domestic policy during this period tended to become a source of trouble to himself. Dalwai Devarajaya, who had been dismissed, had money at his command and also the sympathy of the queen. He was also able to persuade a section of the army outside the capital to desert and join hands with him. In the year 1734, on a certain day, when the major portion of Mysore forces had gone out of the capital for the practices, Dalwai Devarajaya entered the city, broke open the palace doors, took the king captive and dispatched him and his wife to be confined at Kabbaladurga. After this incident, Chamaraja Wadiyar 6 soon died owing to this insulation unbearability of the climate of this place. The deprivation of Chamaraja was followed by the imprisonment of the latter councillors and his other officers. With the departure and death of Chamaraja Wadiyar, Dalboy Devarajaya came out in bolden relief in the Mysore politics. The Dowager Queen Devajammani was not wise enough to understand the real motive of the Dalboy. She believed him and left to him the entire management of the kingdom. In order to strengthen his position, the Dalboy selected to the throne an infant of 7 years belonging to more distant and an inferior family, ignoring the members of the main line. Unit 7.5. Chikka Krishna Raja Wadiyar II, that is from 1734 to 1766 AD. As we observed above, after the death of Chamaraja Wadiyar VI, the Dowager Queen Devajammani had adopted a 6-year-old boy of her kinsman Chamars of Chikkanahalli and installed him as Chikka Krishna Raja Wadiyar, and later he was called Immadi Krishna Raja Wadiyar. Krishna Raja Wadiyar was yet a boy and all powers was in the hands of Dalboy Devarajaya and his brother Sarvadhikari Nanjarajaya and Karachuri Nanjarajaya. Thus all power was wielded by these members of Kalale family, and the period came to be described as Dalboy regime. During this period of Krishna Raja Wadiyar's region, the Mughal Empire was declining, and as the imperial representative of the Mughals, the Nizam of Hyderabad assuming sovereignty and trying to strengthen his position in South India. The Marathas under the Deccan Nawabs were all war-minded. No state was secure and the common people suffered greatly. Page number 39. The Marathas under Balaji Rao, that is from 1740 to 1761 AD, were making tremendous preparations to invade the states of the south. The Nawabs of Sira and Arcot were very active in enlarging their kingdoms. The Ikkeri kingdom was also a source of danger to Mysore. Madura and Tanjore were also plague spots. The Nizam of Hyderabad was always a source of danger to Mysore. In 1741, the Mysore army went down the guards in order to acquire territories, particularly Trichonopoly. The Nizam interfered in the affairs of Trichonopoly, removed Murari Rao from them and demanded 1 crore rupees from the Raja of Mysore for its restoration. When Devarajaya pleaded his inability to pay so much of money, the Nizam appointed Muzaffar Jung as the Shivedar of the Karnataka Balagat and fixed his headquarters at Vijapur. The new arrangement disappointed the Mysore because Trichonopoly, as southernmost limit of the Mysore kingdom, was lost to it. Anyway, the Nizam's invasion of the Karnataka, that is 1743, was just a prelude for the Marathas to plan another expedition to the south. In 1744, Babuji Nayak of Pune invaded the Karnataka region but was not able to receive the Maratha power over Trichonopoly. In 1747, Sadashiv Rao, a Maratha Sardar, came to Karnataka with a vast force. The people of Mysore were alarmed by the invasion, but Sadashiv Rao did not extend his arms up to Mysore. Thus, from 1726 to 1747, 4 Karnataka expeditions were launched by the Marathas. They were all plundering campaigns. They collected the chowth and returned to Pune. In the meanwhile, the Mysore army invaded Devanahalli in 1746 and the siege lasted for 9 months. Devanahalli was occupied by the extraordinary talents of a young soldier of the Mysore named Lee Haider Ali. In view of the Maratha menace, it might naturally be expected that the Dalboy brothers would rally more and more on the Nizam. Nizam ul Muluk's son Nazir Jung realized tribute from Mysore in 1746. The Mysore government supported Nazir Jung in the war of succession that ensued on the death of Nizam ul Malik, that is 1748. But Nazir Jung was murdered in December 1750. Thus, the Mysore government failed to get the support of the Nizam in opposition to the Marathas. A further complication was introduced into Mysore politics by the ambition of Nanjarajaya. The French and the English East India Companies were at war, backing rival claimants to the Subedar of Hyderabad and Nawab of Arcot. The French succeeded in installing their nominee Muzaffar Jung and, after his murder, Salabat Jung at Hyderabad. They succeeded also in killing Anwaruddin, the Nawab of Arcot, and took his eldest son Mahbus Khan prisoner, his second son Muhammad Ali, fleeing to Trichonopoly, only to be besieged there by the French and their nominee Chanda Sahib. But the war lingered on at Trichonopoly. The English were backing Muhammad Ali as the Nawab of Trichonopoly, while the French were backing Chanda Sahib. Muhammad Ali, in the meanwhile, appealed to Mysore king for help, promising the cession of Trichonopoly. Page number 40. The cession of Trichonopoly with all its dependencies was a bait which the greedy Nanjarajaya could not but swallow. In the conflict, Chanda Sahib was betrayed and beheaded, and his head was sent to Mysore and exposed. Then Nanjarajaya went and invested Trichonopoly with an army of 20,000 men. The siege lasted for 3 years, and the Dalwais spent nearly 4 crores of rupees and on this adventure. But he returned empty-handed, without receiving the least compensation or any security for its re-embarrassment. Between 1749 and 1750, Mysore troops numbering 500 horses and 10,000 foot, commanded by Balakki Venkata Rao, were in attending of Nazir Jung. The latter invaded Arcot and Kurnool. The Nawab of Kurnool routed Nazir Jung and later assassinated him. The Mysore troops withdraw, but Haider's Bidar peons took advantage of the confusion caused by the assassination and succeeded in taking 15 camel loads of treasure. Haider brought the treasure to Mysore and offered it to the Maharaja, whereupon the Maharaja received 12 camel loads, leaving the rest to Haider Ali. Between 1753 and 1754, Nanjarajaya continued his efforts to seize Trichonopoly from Muhammad Ali and the English, the French cooperating with him in these attempts until their suspension of arms in October 1754, and Murad cooperating with them up to July 1754, when he went back to Guti. At the beginning of 1755, Salabat Jung Subedar of the Deccan and Bassi, the French general, invaded Mysore. The march of the Nizam's army was proverbially slow. If his brother from Trichonopoly would come in time, Devarajaya thought that he would be able to take the enemy in the flank. But Salabat Jung and Bassi marched very fast. Indeed, the celebrity of Bassi's movement struck terror. Kunigal, the only fort that resisted, was taken by storm. Devarajaya was compelled to agree to pay 56 lakhs of rupees. The plates and jewels of the Hindu temples, and also the personal ornaments of the Raja and his family, which were sold, only to realize 1/3 of the sum. For the rest, Devarajaya gave bankers securities. But as no payment could make the usurpers, government lost all credit with the bankers. The Peshwa, whose army was operating about the Darwar Hubli Kundegal region, was persuaded by Bassi not to make demands on Mysore. He therefore devoted his attention to setting Maratha claims on Bednore, Baswapatna and Chitradurga. He also captured various places in the Mysore territory to the northwest of the state. During the period, Haider was busy in increasing his army and accumulating wealth, and had become the Faujdar of Dindigul. He and his assistant Kande Rao organized a perfect system of plunder with the aid of skilled workmen under French supervision, and built up an artillery, arsenal and laboratory. Page number 41. Thus, between Dalwai Devarajaya, Sarvadhikari Nanjarajaya and Haider Ali, the Maharaja was left with very little power. The disgraceful failure of Nanjarajaya at Trichonopoly, the inability of the usurpers to resist the encroachments of the Nizam and the Peshwa, and the collapse of their credit, emboldened the king to conspire against them in 1756. But the plot was discovered, and Nanjarajaya stormed the palace, forced the Maharaja to sit on the throne, and made him watch the cutting of the noses and ears of his partisans. Even old Dalwai Devarajaya was disgusted with this gruesome barbarity and left the capital and went away to Satyamangalam. The Marathas invaded Mysore, and Nanjarajaya, unable to resist them, had to surrender to them most of the northern territories of Mysore. Haider Ali, on hearing this, came from Dindigul with disciplined army, routed the Marathas and recovered the territories. This was followed by a mutiny in the army for arrears of pay. Nanjarajaya, unable to cope with the situation, sought the assistance of Haider Ali, who with his usual efficiency quelled the mutiny. Thereupon, he was given the assignment of the revenues of Coimbatore, and the district of Bangalore was conferred on him as a jagir. In 1760, the English at Madras sent word to the Maharaja for help against the French. The French, on the other hand, approached Hyder Ali for and against the British. Ignoring the wishes of the Maharaja, Hyder made friendship with the French and sent his army to the south to help the French. He mobilized his forces from Bangalore and Coimbatore and attacked Khande Rao, regaining much more than his former dictator. Khande Rao was put in a cage-like parrot and left to a slow death. After the triumph of Hyder Ali over Khande Rao, the King of Mysore was entirely divested of the management of his country. After 1761, thus Hyder Ali became powerful ruler in the Mysore Kingdom. Unit 7.6. Summary of the unit. The death of Chikkadevaraja Vadiyar marks the beginning of the decline of the prosperity of the Mysore Vadiyar dynasty. The successors of Chikkadevaraja Vadiyar were generally incompetent to manage the affairs of the kingdom. They were either too weak or too young to hold the regions of government. The selfish Dalvois of this period tried to aggrandize power and the king became very tool in their hands. In less than half a century, from 1704 to 1766, the Dalvois became powerful and they took complete authority of the kingdom into their own hands. As a result, the kings receded to back ground and the Dalvois became de facto rulers of the kingdom. Henceforth, the history of Mysore of this period regarded as the Dalvoi period. Page number 42. Unit 7.7. Self-assessment questions. Question number 1. The history of Mysore between 1704 to 1761 is regarded as the Dalvoi regime. Explain. Question number 2. Write short notes. Question number 1. Khanti Rava Narsaraja Vadiyar 2. Question number 2. Dalvoi Deva Rajaya. Unit 7.8. Suggested books for further study. Question number 1. Haiwadana Rao C. equals to History of Mysore, that is from 1704 to 1766 AD, Volume 2. Question number 2. Divakar RR equals to Karnataka through the ages. Question number 3. Shama Rao M equals to Modern Mysore. Question number 4. Basavaraj KR equals to History and Culture of Karnataka. Question number 5. Satya Narayana A equals to History of the Vadiyars of Mysore, that is from 1610 to 1748 AD.